finished Malachi, and the Lord kind of led me this direction for the next few weeks anyway. So if you take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter number 10, we're going to look at some prophecies concerning Jesus that were fulfilled at his birth and that were fulfilled in his lifetime. And there are specific ones that are mentioned several different ways and different times in the Old Testament, and then were fulfilled in the New Testament. We're going to look at the New Testament fulfilling of it. These prophecies that we're looking at here, it just happens that they're in Psalms, and I think that's a good reason for you to read the Psalms beyond just... So some people say, read the Psalms when you're having trouble. Read the Psalms whenever you need to pray. Read the Psalms when you need peace. You need to read the Psalms because they're informative and they're valuable. And if you'll, you know, there's several Psalms that point to the Messiah. And you and I will see over the next few weeks, at least, several of the verses in the Old Testament. But Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 7, we're going to look at these two verses and then go over to John 15. But the Bible says, "Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Now look at John chapter number 15. So the Bible says there that it's written of him in the book what he was, what his purpose and what God's plan for him or in him was to be. So John chapter number 15, and we're going to look at one verse here. Verse number 25 says, "But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." So Jesus came to fulfill the will of God. We know that. We know that was God's plan all along. And we also know that he was not received as being from God. John chapter 1 tells us that. So tonight we're going to look at the interaction and the way that his family and friends would look at him, and then the way he would be received by the religious if we get that far. So just want to let you know that we're going to be looking at what the scripture says about the reception of the Messiah and how Jesus was received. So let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that teaches us, and thank you for the verses that show us over 300 areas of prophecy that have been prophesied about the Messiah, his first coming, his second coming, the work that would be done, and then the interaction with the people of the day. And Lord, I'm thankful that there's evidence that Jesus is the Messiah and that he is the Savior of the world. And I pray tonight as we look at these verses that you draw our attention to Jesus, not to what we think, but what the Bible plainly states concerning him. And Lord, I pray that you'd work all of these things in our hearts to be emboldened to tell people that we certainly do know the Savior. And we need to be able to proclaim that with certainty and boldness. And I pray that you'd help us to gain that ability as we study the scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So turn to Psalm 69, 69th Psalm. And these are some of these psalms we've looked at. Psalm 69. And we're going to look at what the Bible says here about Jesus, about how the Messiah would be received, and you could say the Savior, understanding that David wrote some of the Psalms that he wrote, as we introduced the Psalms, were prophetic in nature. Many of the Psalms have bits and pieces of prophecy that prove who Jesus, who the Messiah would be. If you remember, when we closed with Malachi, we made the observation that the people should have known who he is by just clearly what the last words that God said about him in Malachi would be, the coming of the Messiah. They should have known. Now, there are a lot of religious reasons why they did not know, but the Bible certainly gave them plenty of indicators of who Jesus is. The reason I think it's important to do this study is so that you and I can see and be reassured that you can take the Old Testament and prove who Jesus is. Whether people want to hear it or not is immaterial, because the things that fall out here happened exactly as they were prophesied to happen. And so, without going through the entire psalm, we're just going to go to verse number 8. And this psalm speaks of the Messiah. It's a messianic psalm. And here it says in verse number 8, "I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children." So the idea here is that the Messiah would be thought of by those around him as an alien. Now, when the Bible uses the word alien, it's not talking about someone from outer space, although that is actually a good usage of the word, and you can believe that that's what people who are associated with Christ, I really believe that's going to be one of the big lies that's foisted on everyone, is that we never were ever of this planet. But guess what? That's what the Bible says. We're not. So they'll say, well, they said they were not of this world, over and over. You say, what is the precedent of that? Well, in the day that Nero was Caesar, the lunatic, he blamed the fires in Rome on the Christians because they were looking for a fiery end to the world. We're looking for a fiery end, but I certainly believe that this, this is personal opinion. This is not in the Bible, so you can go, well, that's not how it happened. And I'll go, yep, I was wrong. And we'll do that, I'll know in heaven exactly what they're going to say, but it just makes sense. If you've paid any attention to the newness of, I remember as a kid hearing about aliens, because I lived in Phoenix, Arizona, and that's where the highest known alien population is, right there. I mean, that's where everybody was abducted at one time or another in Phoenix. It wasn't because they were abducted. It was because there were drugs involved, I assure you. But that I was scared to death one night when my parents mocked me for being scared of the aliens. And I remember vividly as a kid, listening to it and hearing it. Now I'm seeing a even bigger push toward it. And they're trying to prove that aliens have been here before. They're living among us. The Egyptian tombs and the Egyptian carvings and all of this proved that there were aliens, and they've made an Indiana Jones movie about, that's semi-historical, about the findings of these people with elongated heads, and they were trying to be like their gods. I'm telling you, it's viable. But when the word Bible in the Bible is used, it means a lunatic, a person that doesn't belong in with other people. So they would have believed that he was crazy. They're going to believe the Messiah is crazy. And then the next thing is that, and unto my mother's children. So his brethren thought he was crazy, his friends, if you would, and then his family would not believe him, and they would be, he would be strange to them. And so that's what the Bible says there. And then in verse number 9, "For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me." The reason is even given why they would think that he was out of his mind. because he was so given to the work of God and the house of God that it would seem odd to all the rest of the world. That they would look, and his zeal, the word zeal means that he was zealous, but he was, so there were the high, there was the high priest who was more concerned about the religion, where the Messiah would be more concerned about the house of God and what it was known as. And we know that twice early in his ministry and then later in his ministry, he cleansed the temple and threw out the people that were in there being money changers and declared to them that this is my Father's house will be known as a house of prayer in the world, not a house of commerce, is which they had made it. So the reason that he would be viewed as odd was because of his following of God and the zeal with which he did it. Wouldn't it be amazing if we were known as strange because we just loved the house of God and loved the Word of God and loved the things of God more than we loved the world? Wouldn't that be a blessing? But that's, we would be called strange. I mean, people call us strange now. If you think that Temple Baptist Church is a church that's well-liked in the community, we're that church that believes the Bible literally. That's some of the preachers that I've met in town there that call me the old guy. Oh, you're the old guy because I'm the only one who's been here for so long. Most of them are, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 10 years, I think, is the longest one. And they say things like this. They I've been in different meetings where they were supporting the family, the pregnancy center and other places, and they do. They talk. They say, now, we understand that you believe the Bible is literal. Who knew? Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, we've heard about you. In fact, somebody told me, somebody in Whitewater knows me. I said, I don't know anybody in Whitewater. I know people in Whitewater, but I didn't know the preacher. I've heard of him. I went, oh, that's not good. When they say they've heard of you, it's not good. But it is still strange in the world to be a person that's marked as being a, well, okay, so this is what you say is the Bible, the King James. That's weird today. By and large, there's more of them than there are of us. In fact, there are many of us saying now, well, this isn't the only Bible. Because it's strange. And we were never meant to be accepted by the world. Just so you know, Jesus said the world hated me. They're going to hate you. But they didn't get it. Not even the disciples got it immediately. So turn to Matthew chapter number 13. We'll look at, Mark chapter 3, not Matthew. We're going to start in Mark. Mark chapter number 3. Mark chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 20. And the multitude cometh together again so that they could not as much, 3:20 there, as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him, and he said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said he hath an unclean spirit. So Jesus, if you look at it properly, he logically says to them, you're saying that I'm of Satan, but there's no way that Satan can cast out Satan and stand. and he uses different examples of a house divided against itself. So, it again, you can't help but see the parallel. Today, people that speak plain truth that makes perfect sense, they're thought to be full of devils and wrong. So watch. When you say that there are only two genders, you're a lunatic. You're beside yourself. You don't understand how people's minds work. Yeah, I do. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No, you can't say everybody's a sinner. Well, doesn't it seem likely that everybody does things wrong and they're more interested in themselves than they are anything else? See, that's the kind of logic and reasoning Jesus was using with them, just talking about something simple of casting out devils. So it made no sense what they were saying, but he was the one who was beside himself. So his message was so different than the world's that they couldn't process it. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So Jesus would be rejected by his friends. His friends came to lay hold on him because they thought he was beside himself. His words were in direct disagreement with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes early in Mark chapter number 3, and they believe that he is out of his mind. Sounds like Psalm 69 was fulfilled right there. And then continuing on, verse 31, there came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him, and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. Well, this was completely opposite of what the religion of the day was preaching, but his family comes now, and they're calling him. You know why? Because the friends went back. If you tie all this together, they said, We can't get him. Maybe you need to get him. He's really lost it out there. There's something wrong with him. And so his family is calling him to them. They want to protect him. And so it says, his brethren and his mother. Now, is there precedent for that belief? Yeah. Remember when they went back when he was 12 years old and they found him in the temple? And Mary said to him, Why did you do this to us? We've been seeking for you. And he said, Woman, what? I don't understand what your problem is. Isn't it obvious that I should be about my father's business? 12 years old, in the temple. They're amazed. They still have that attitude. They have the attitude that there's something wrong. And if you look at the scriptures and tie it to Psalm 69, 8 and 9, it makes perfect sense that the reason they thought he was out of his mind is because he had so much zeal for the things of God and for the house of God and for obedience to God. And this, again, it proves it. Who are my mother and my brethren? Who are my sisters? Who are those people that are actually my family? They're the ones who do the will of God. Now, think of the reception. Now, you know, his brothers and sisters and mother are standing out there, and they're going, and his friends, and they're trying to get him to come out because he's lost his mind. They do not believe him, and now they're saying he's lost it. He's so given to the things of God. It would be this statement today: he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. All he thinks about is God. All he thinks about are the things of God. And I'm telling you, I mean, these little side notes I'm throwing out that aren't about Jesus are for us to catch that we're supposed to be like Christ. And you would be surprised what people say about other people in the church when they say, you know, when I read my Bible every day, I love it, and they say all they ever talk about is the Bible. So? All they ever do, they don't even know any statistics of the Kansas City Chiefs. They don't even know who the quarterback is. So? Isn't it sad that we know more, way more about that stuff than we know about the things of God? Brother Sam was telling us last night that there are many people that go over to India at, that are Baptists that he knows of that go over to India and they start ministries and they never have any problems. And this was his statement, not mine, but it makes perfect sense. Do you know why they have no problems? Because they're not doing the work that needs to be done. I said, what does that mean? He said, they're not reaching souls. They're not doing the work of discipleship. They're there in the country, and they're keeping a spot. And you go, well, he's jealous. Come on. You have no idea about that ministry if you haven't paid attention. They're in a hard, hard area, and they're seeing souls saved every day, every week, every month, every year. It always has been shocking to me how many they have saved every year. Just shocking. Because it's so hard. And he said these words last night, when you're not doing the work, you will not be persecuted. He said, if people don't know you're a Christian, they have no reason to be concerned with you. And that became a point of conversation because it's true in America. We would rather fit in than be considered out of our minds. It just is what it is. So the Bible clearly states there that in those areas that his family and his friends rejected him. Look at now at Matthew chapter number 13. This gives a little bit more insight to their actions. And verse number 54. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? Just a side note here, if you want to help a person who believes that Mary was a virgin all of her life, she had other children from Joseph. And Jesus had brothers and sisters recognized, albeit they were not, he was not of Joseph. Still, this is how the world then looked at him. And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So again, we have his family, those associated with him, his friends. This would have been the area he's going into where he was, where they knew him. He was raised there. Is this not the carpenter's son? So Joseph was known as the carpenter in that area. And that's very telling that these are people that know him. That's the way their communities work still, is family with family and extended family. And so they give the list of the brothers. They say, aren't his sisters here? And then Jesus said, well, it's just known that a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And let me just say, that's still very true about a person who will take the position of godliness and desire to be godly rather than to be worldly. And the first people that reject you are the people that should not reject you. That should say, hey, he's always been this way. because this is the way that Jesus has always been. But the Bible says they were offended in him, which means his presence caused them to desire to stay away from whatever it was he believed, because they did not want to be associated with it. Not that they were offended like people are offended today. You looked at him cross-eyed or whatever, or you didn't speak to them, or you didn't say the right words to them. No, no, no. This offense was, I don't even want to be around the guy. I don't care what miracles he can do. I don't believe in him. That was their attitude. And that's why it says that he could not do mighty works there or any miracles, because of their unbelief. Look at Mark now, chapter number 6. And verse number 1. Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and went round about the villages teaching. And he, of course, was teaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Jesus even was astonished, taken aback. Not that he didn't know that that was going to be the reception. He did know. But isn't it amazing when you can make Jesus, the creator of the universe, go, why? As he said in John, I've done nothing to offend any of them. There's no reason for them to hate me. And there was no reason for them to hate him. There was no reason for them to reject them, except this: the Bible said that's what they were going to do. So when we as Christians, again, application outside of the actual message, but for you and I, it should never be in our thought process that we're ever going to fit into the world and be accepted by the world and be one of the world people that's just open-armed, accepted and loved. And because if you talk about Jesus and you live a life for Christ and you live a life that's different, you're going to say, why are they so harsh toward this? You should. I mean, it should be a response. I don't understand. As far as I know, anytime I've ever witnessed anybody, I've never set out to offend them. I want them to know that Jesus loves them. But you know how they know Jesus loves them? They have to first realize that they've sinned against God. There's got to be a recognition of that. And that is offensive, and that's why they're offended. Because as he taught, he didn't teach them, well, we're all God's children, and someday we're all going to be together. Now, God's got a plan, and this is just going to fix everybody's life. But we're all good inside. When the Bible blatantly says that we are all evil inside, none of us are good. No, not one. I mean, to the point where my dad, every time you say, I'm doing good, he says, no, you're not. He's that literal about the Bible, but he's right. We're not. We don't understand good in comparison to God. And so when we're out in the world, don't act like that the world, don't sit around and be marveled or try to find ways to fit into the world. You're not. You and I should be as uncomfortable in this world as we possibly can be. And I don't mean that you shouldn't be able to go home and relax. I mean, when you're around people that are doing wrong things, using wrong language, watching, talking about wrong things, it should bother you. It should. If it doesn't, you have a problem. Jesus was so different, and all he could do, all of these people watched him grow up. Wouldn't that just surprise you? Well, they knew exactly what kind of person I am. It'd be like Twyla and I have been married 41 years this year, December 17th. Last year it was the big 4-0. Now it's the big 4-1, which means nothing. And so, 41 years. Wouldn't it be something if just now Twyla would go, you know, Ron's a smart aleck. I never realized it. Would most of you go, what is wrong with you? Where have you lived all of your life? This is Jesus. Since the time he was a child, all he's done is the will of God. And they're acting like it's something new. I get it. I love the response there, that he marveled. That he wasn't caught off guard. He didn't know why. He understood. But it's still to make God go, That's significant. And then look at, and this is the one that really should bother us, John chapter number 7. And verse number 1, John chapter number 7. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. And then he gives us an explanation why his brothers are trying to promote him. For neither did his brethren believe in him. So not only did they believe that he was a lunatic and that he was strange for believing God, but they did not believe in him. And he never was received until after his death, even by the disciples. His resurrection was the tell when Peter and John actually believed. The disciples walking on the road to Emmaus got it after he vanished from them. When Jesus walked into the locked room and they were afraid and he said, peace be unto you, it is I. They were still amazed until he said, do you have something here? Some fish? Do you have some meat here? So I can prove to you. Here, you know, he told Thomas, you know, put your hand in my hand and put your hands in the nail prints and thrust your hand into my side. They struggled, but in this moment, at this time, they thought Jesus was just trying to be a good leader and a well-known rabbi who was uneducated, yet somehow had this ability to communicate the word of God like no other man on the planet ever has or will or had before. Because he actually wrote what he was saying. If you think about this, his brothers who grew up with him, his family, did not believe in him. And they knew him from his birth. After he was born, after they were born and they interacted. I picture them as the ones getting the spankings or whatever, they beating them with a rod because that's what the Bible told them to do. And Jesus never was. He submitted himself to his parents. They didn't. No, he was a teenager. No. First of all, there's no such thing as a teenager. It's a made-up word. They are children. And the Bible says, children, obey your parents, honor thy father and thy mother. That was the law. That's what he did. You can mark it down. They did not. They were not the same as him. They did not believe. Now, the people that were not in the household not believing him, okay, they weren't with him all the time. These guys were. They thought he was a salesman trying to sell himself and make himself look big. so that he could gain disciples. What they thought he was doing, I still cannot reason in my mind, but I do know this, that Jesus was so different than his brothers were growing up, that there should have been something significant in them that was drawn to him, but there was not. And I'll tell you once again, for one reason, that's what the Bible said would happen. A person who is given to following God wholly with their heart is never going to be accepted by people who are more concerned with the world than they are with godliness. And we are living in a day and age where we're going to have to make a decision. Do we want to be accepted by the world, or is it okay for us to be considered lunatics because we believe the Bible and act upon it and believe it and study it and speak about it? See, the reason many of us don't witness is because we're afraid that somebody's going to think we're a lunatic. You need to quit being afraid. They're going to think you're a lunatic. They probably already do when you said, no, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. They're probably going to think that you're a lunatic when you don't see the same movies they do. When you don't talk the same way. If you do talk the same way and you do all the things they do, then you'll never be persecuted for being a lunatic. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think you should go out setting out to be a lunatic or strange, or let's just use the word the Bible uses, alien. You're so strange. You don't even look like you belong in this planet. Thank you, because I don't. My home is not in this world. Why we spend so much time acting like it is when this is not where we're spending eternity is sad. Jesus never acted like he belonged to this world. And he, according to 1 Peter chapter number 2, gave us an example that we could live just like that. I guess I would, you know, just in way of application. So the truth is, Jesus was the Messiah. By just one verse that we read, everything that said that his family and his friends, the Bible says would happen because of his zeal for the house of God, everything that it to the T, the Bible says this is what happened to Jesus. But what about you? Is your life look more comfortable in the world? When you get to heaven, will you miss this world? Then why would you live for this world? It's a great question. His parents, his mom was, there's something wrong with him. His brothers, there's something wrong with him. His friends, there's something wrong with him. Why? Just because he had zeal for the things of God and the house of God. What's your testimony? This would be a great time of year to be able to tell people, you know what? Let me tell you about Jesus, and they would be able to say to you, you know, I knew there was something different about you. Because there should be. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us, and thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that shows us who Jesus is according to the scriptures. I'm thankful that we can take your word in the Old Testament and compare it to the New Testament and see these prophecies fulfilled. I just pray that we would be wise to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, so that we can show Jesus to the world. And then, Lord, help us to apply these things to our hearts so that we would be seen as different than the world, reaching the world with truth. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.